our speaker, Natalie Stillman. Natalie Stillman is a financial advisor employed by Eagle Strategies in San Diego and has over 20 years of experience as a financial professional. Natalie is registered as an investment advisor representative and is authorized to give investment advice to clients. She graciously makes time in her schedule to speak about practical ways we can teach our children about financial responsibility. So please join me in welcoming her.
Thank you. I am going to effortlessly. That's my new mantra, effortless. I tell myself there is no hard, there is no easy, there just is. I've used it a few times this morning already. It works. Let's see. It's always great to be in front of a MOPS group. I was telling Michelle that this group is probably my favorite group to speak to. Everyone is very warm and welcoming and usually pretty involved in the workshop. Michelle and Lauren both said that they'd heard this before, weren't interested in hearing it again, they were over it, and I was to come up with a new topic. Actually, not really. We really are going to be talking about raising kids to be financially responsible. This is not a program where you sit down with a book with your kids for 10 hours and say, do this and don't do that. This is a program where you incorporate some of the tips and tools and tricks that we'll talk about today into your everyday lives. This is a life-changing program. I used it, sort of a hybrid of it with my kids. I have three. They're almost all out. I have one senior left who goes to LCC. And then I get to go play. Can't wait. Anyway, then I get a raise, huh, when they all get out of college. So Michelle already told you who I am. That's probably enough said about me. We'll move into a couple of things. One is I'd like to just introduce my latest team member, Max Kramer. He's with me today. Your group has gotten so big. When Michelle said 100 women, I was like, wow, I need help. So Max is here today to help out. If you need anything, if you don't have a workbook, if anything comes up, you need pens, whatever, just wave him down. He'll come and he'll help you. One housekeeping item. I did start as a stockbroker over 20 years ago, and I'm registered with the FINRA, and there are a lot of regulations. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to gather contact information for everyone who attends. In case I offend anyone or say anything I shouldn't say, you know where to find me. So Max is going to be circulating a registration just of the people who are here. So if you could just sign in, I would appreciate it. We don't use it to track you down and contact you and try to sell you things. It's just something I have to turn into our compliance department. So appreciate it. So what I'd like to do when we start is just sort of pull the audience and get an idea. I understand this audience, you guys all have preschoolers, right? So I'm assuming everybody has a child, at least one who is six or younger. Do any of you have kids who are teenagers? Okay, can you, one, two, that's it? Okay. All right, it's too late for you guys, but for the rest of you, we'll help with your other kids. I do like to ask also what your expectations are for today. Some of you I recognize, I think, from other meetings that I've been to. Anyway, if you came here thinking, I really want to know how to handle XYZ, let me know what that is right now, and I'll make sure that we address it in the time that we have together. We've got about 30 minutes to go through some things. Is there anything that you want to make sure you leave with information on today? You guys have it all figured out already? Why am I here? Yes, yes. Uh-huh. So maybe sort of the difference between wanting something and needing something, and that it does cost money. Like, money is not free. Money's not free. I tell my kids that all the time. Money's not free. Get out of my purse. Okay? Okay. And what's your name? Hi, Melissa. Okay, anybody else? Yes. Okay, yeah, that's a great one. We will touch on that today. What's your name?
Hillary.
Hillary, hi. Anybody else? Yes.
I know that you will have an opinion on this in the past, but what are age-appropriate chores versus just like what they're supposed to do as being part of our family? Like, what's the difference between a chore and just you're a member that you need to help do things?
Right. You know, Lauren, that is such a great point. I always joke around like I haven't done a dish in 10 years, you know, because that's an appropriate chore for my kids to have, right? For them, they can earn money doing that. We'll definitely hit on that. Yes. Okay, so you're saying how to prioritize, do I set money aside for college or do I save for my retirement? If I set money aside for college, is it so they go to San Marcos State or so they go to Harvard? Is that? Okay, through 12, private school? Okay. Right. It is, right, it is, because if you're gonna pay for private school now. You know, I don't know that we're gonna cover it that exactly today. There is sort of financial planning 101. There is a process that you go through. You know, should I set money aside for my children for college, or should I be saving for retirement? You know, I always say, well, you can borrow money for college, you can't borrow money for retirement, right? So there are just some basics that I'm happy to talk to you about, but we're not specifically gonna hit on that today, I'm sorry. What's your name?
Kate.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk to you about that, though, afterward. Yes? It's a good question. What's your name?
Whitney.
Hey, Whitney. So the question is, how do you encourage your kids to save their money? So the money that they make when they get paid allowance, how do you encourage them not to just go out and buy a bunch of fireworks or something, right? Encourage them to save it. Yes? That is so good. How do you encourage your kids to give? That is one of the wonderful lessons, actually, that's in this program that we'll hit on. What's your name?
Sarah.
Yeah, that's a good one. You'll learn so much about your kids by encouraging them to do that. Anybody else? Yes. Do you love that? Do you love that? Yeah, I love that. Well, what do you mean you don't have money? I saw that you have credit cards in your wallet. What are you talking about? Yeah, so I didn't bring any toy money with me today. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to hit on that kind of a topic. You know, my philosophy is if your kids lose things, let them lose them. Don't replace them. Right? Let them replace them. That's the only way they're going to learn. But anyway, some people think I'm terrible. But really, I'm not. It works. My kids are living proof. Well, right, money obsession. It's kind of interesting because the flip side of that coin is, how do I get my kid off the video games, right? How do I get him off the laptop and onto the blacktop? How do I get him engaged in his life? And so what you have going on is kind of that your child says, okay, I've earned this money, I've worked hard for it, now I want to go spend it and have some fun with it. So that is sort of the fun for him. Right? That's the fun side. It makes some responsibility for you because you have to schlep him to the store and do all that. But that, it's actually, he's engaged in the process. And so that's not all bad. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to jump into the program. And I'll try to fast forward it a little bit because we're a little short on time. Everybody should have a workbook. Does everybody have a workbook? If you don't, blame it on Max. No, he'll get you in. So why is it important to have financially responsible children? It's sort of a silly question, I think, but some things that we don't think about is, you know, having a budget, handling finances is just a life skill that we all need to have. It's not taught in schools. I don't know why. It's not taught in schools. Very important that we teach this, that part of the legacy we leave to our kids is to be financially responsible. I have a couple of kids who have gone off to college, and I can tell you that they get bombarded with credit card offers. Like, I think the average is 16 a week. It's horrible. It's just so hard for them to manage anything. And then if you look at the spending of teenagers, teenagers spend, which is good, right? We all have to know how to spend money because that's the velocity of money. Without us spending money, we wouldn't have an economy. But teenagers spend like $2 billion a year. That's a lot of money. Most of us couldn't handle that kind of a spend. Do you think they're spending it thoughtfully and wisely? Probably not. So it's important to set our kids up for success. I think in every area of life, we want to do that. In order to do that, we're going to take about 5 minutes, and we're going to talk about ourselves, our own habits. It's really, really hard to have your child take you seriously if you tell them you cannot leave the house every day until you make your bed, and then you don't make your own bed, right? Or you tell them you have to eat all your vegetables, and then you say, well, I don't have to. I'm an adult. I'm just going to sit here and watch you eat yours. They're probably not going to take you really seriously. So it's important that you have your own sort of, you have a pulse on what your habits are with your own spending habits, your own saving habits, your own attitudes toward money, because that is what is going to trickle down to your children and what they learn. I always say that my kids all went deaf at about age one, because they did. But what they do is they really learn by watching you. They know us probably better than we know ourselves. They're fabulous manipulators. They know exactly what to say and when to say it, but they probably learned a lot of it from us, right, subconsciously. So we're going to walk through a few questions. You actually have these in your workbook. You don't have to write them down. There are no right or wrong answers. The purpose of this exercise is to find out where you have these little red flags. You don't have to share this information with anybody. The better you know yourself, the better teacher you're going to be for your children. If you know the areas that you really need to improve upon, you can do that, and then you really can teach your kids. Gosh. You can take me out. You can dress me up, but you can't take me out. Is that how it goes? Okay, so the first question is, by the end of the pay period, do you wonder where all your money went? This is so common when I'm doing planning with people around tax time usually. They get together in my office, and we're looking at their tax returns, and they're like, wow, we did great. We made so much money. And then we look at their balance sheet, and they're like, where is it? Where did it go, right? People don't know where their money goes. Super important to know where your money goes. If you know where your money goes, you're going to do a much better job at helping your kids understand how to direct where their funds go. Just an important thing. Do you have a budget plan that you try to stick to? The word budget sends shivers down my spine. I just don't like the word. It's restrictive. It has a negative connotation to me. So I promote a spending plan. When people have a spending plan, they know what's available to spend on the things that they want. So I think this program was written, actually I was supposed to review that, by a gal, Neil Godfrey, who is an absolute guru on the topic. And it follows a book called Money Doesn't Grow on Trees, which is wonderful. I highly recommend this or another book like it. But if I met her, I would have words with her about the whole budget thing. We'd be talking about spending plans. But it's important because you're going to teach your kids how to budget their money and put together spending plans. And it starts very young, but it goes through their teenage years. It's our job to prepare them for the world, right? How to get out there and do things on their own. Is a regular savings plan part of your financial strategy? I suggest to you, if you do not have a regular savings plan where you're putting something aside every month, you have no business investing. None whatsoever. None. I can say that because I'm over 50 now and I can tell people what to do. So this is really important because you're going to be teaching your kids to do this. Part of this program is having them setting aside money. The money that they get in allowance is not all spending money. Some will be saving money. 4, have you planned ahead to ensure your loved ones are financially secure? I submit to you, if you have children and you don't have life insurance, it's an irresponsible act. Stop. Take this opportunity to think about it. It's something that everyone needs. Personal story, when I was 8, my dad died. He had no life insurance. We moved a lot. Changed things. Makes things a lot harder. So think that through. It's an easy thing to remedy. Are you only paying interest on credit card debt? Some people do. They don't realize now, you know, they've changed the credit card statements so that they have to disclose. If you only pay the minimum payment on this credit card bill, you'll be paying this for 527 years, something like that. It actually says that on your statement. So pay attention to those statements. Before you start investing, before you start saving even, paying off credit card debt is pretty crucial. There are certain steps that you can take. And by you doing that, you understand how it empowers you and makes you feel better every day when you wake up in the morning. Things really do become effortless when you don't have a lot of credit card debt. And you'll teach your kids also not to be encumbered by that type of debt. Do you hide the bills when you show up? Some people get in this situation. I don't think anybody ever plans to be in this situation, but if you are, this, I would say, is a red flag. You probably need to get some help, right? Don't be embarrassed. Be loud and proud. Get out there and do what you need to do to get healthy financially. Do you plan a purchase carefully rather than impulse buying? Of course you do. If you say no, I would wonder. Little story with this. So here I am. I'm out here, you know, talking. I think Lauren said I've been back here for the last 5 years, something like that. And I can remember when my oldest daughter, who's 22 now, she was about 15 or 16, and we went to Nordstrom Rack. And she had the money that she was going to spend. She had her list of what she was going to buy. And we get in the store, and she says, I said, well, hey, Cassie, do you need help with anything? She says, no, I'm fine. I got it. So I grab a cart, and I'm just walking around. And I don't know, 20 minutes later, there she is at the other end of the aisle. And she's looking at me, and she's shaking her head. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she walks over, and she looks at me. And she looks at my cart. And she looks back at me, and she says, Mom, you need intervention. And I was like, what? And I looked down, and they were having their big shoe sale, right? And so my whole cart was full of shoes. And here I am educating other people about all this and, you know, preaching what you should and shouldn't do, but I'm human too, right? So here's the deal. If you have to impulse shop, don't take your children with you, okay? Don't do it in front of them because they learn, they really do, they learn by our example, okay? It could happen. She's a great shopper, though. Another benefit of this program, you guys, is that your kids will learn that when they're spending their own money, they will learn that, wow, I could buy 8 solid color tank tops at Target for the same price I could buy 1 at Hollister. They will learn that on their own. You won't have to teach them. When they're spending their own money, they understand, oh, maybe I don't really need that. Maybe I just want that. There might be something more important. They're going to learn so many lessons that you won't have to tell them. It's just sort of learned by osmosis. So do you buy things when you want them, even if you don't need them? I think that falls in the impulse buying. Do you make a list and stick to it at the grocery store? This is interesting. So what I did for many years, I just kind of had the same list, and I'd print it out all the time because, you know, the meals that I made, single mom, 3 kids, pretty much the same. Taco Tuesday, you know. But anyway, so it was pretty much the same. So I would just highlight whatever we needed. And as the kids got older, I could drop one at the grocery store with a list of highlighted items so they could learn how to shop. Kids don't know how to shop. We're not doing them any favors by doing everything for them. They need to learn these life skills. So you drop one there, you drop another one at basketball, another one at football, you come back, you pick them up with the groceries, drop them off at home. Go back, pick up the other kids in sports. It really works. You guys are managing a household, doesn't mean you have to do everything. Okay? Means you guys are managers, you guys are like the CEOs. You have to make things hum along. And the way you do that is by incorporating everybody onto the team. Give everybody something to do. Everybody feels better about themselves. How did I go from groceries to that? I don't know. Okay, is impressing others more important than reducing debt? This is a question only you can answer for yourself. Enough said. Are you proactive or reactive? I'll suggest to you that being proactive as much as possible to the extent that you can will make for a much happier life. Living reactively to everything else that goes on, which is hard not to do when you have kids. It's a challenge, but I suggest that you take on that challenge. Be brave, right? That's your motto this year. So where do you start? You start at the beginning with the natural consequences of money. The only way to get money is to earn it. Money is not free. When I say close your pocketbooks, I really mean close your pocketbooks. Because today's kids think a $20 bill is like a one, you know? I mean, they go to school and they're like, oh, I need money for this field trip, and I need money for that, and I need money for this. And we're the ones creating the habit. Here, honey, take it. Here, go ahead. And next thing you know, you're spending all this money well in excess of what you would spend if you were paying them an allowance, I assure you. Okay? So sometimes people think, oh, it's too much to pay them for allowance, but I think you'll find in the long run, it's a lot easier to incorporate it into your spending plan. So teach them now that money isn't free. When do you start? Neil says start when they are about 3 years old, or whenever they start saying, I want. If you're in the grocery store and they're walking through that little aisle, that little, you know, tempting aisle as you check out with every little toy and every little piece of candy, when they start saying they want things, they're probably old enough to start learning how to earn some money. When they're young, obviously, you're not gonna have them do all kinds of big chores. Everything is age appropriate in the program. So you're gonna start the kids on an allowance system, and I'm gonna ask you at this point of the presentation that you keep an open mind about this, because some people feel very strongly that, why should I pay my kids to do the things that they should be doing in my house anyway? I'm not gonna pay them. The answer to that is, your children will never learn how to manage money if they don't have money to manage. Period. And I see this with my older clients. I've been doing this for many years. I have clients who, their children are my clients, their grandchildren are my clients. What happens though, the people who have money and don't allow their kids to participate in how that money is managed, how to take care of it, when those kids receive the inheritance, the money's gone usually within 2 years. So all this money that these people have saved and have invested so wisely in their whole lifetimes just gets wiped out. It's some phenomenon. I'm not really sure why it happens, other than people are just not exposed to managing their own money. So you start kids on an allowance system, they'll do chores and they'll earn an allowance. Now, Lauren, to speak to your question, how do you know the difference between what you're gonna pay them for and what you're not? This is how I kind of break it down. So we are all citizens in our communities. The things that we do in our communities and we don't get paid for, right? We do. If you see trash on the ground, you pick it up. Is somebody going to pay you for that? No, they're not, right? We take care of ourselves. We brush our teeth. We brush our hair, right? We make our beds. Kids do their homework. Things like that. Things that you're doing to take care of yourself, you don't get paid for that. It's just what we do. I always say to my kids, I'm not going to thank you for doing the things that you should be doing anyway, right? These are the extra above and beyond. These are the things that are helping our team to tick. That's what you're going to get paid for, the chores, because they have to learn somehow. When they go to work and they get a job, they're going to get paid for that time, right? But you still have to be a good citizen, a good community participant. So, citizen of the household, that's what these chores are called. And these are basically taking care of yourself. They do not get paid for going to bed on time. Okay, really? They do not get paid for getting up and getting to school on time. These are expectations. It is okay to have expectations of our children that they do what they should do when they should do it. It doesn't mean you're the bad mom, okay? I can remember saying to my kids, they'd come home and they'd be like, so-and-so, little Johnny, he doesn't have to do chores, he doesn't have to work, and he gets $20 a week of allowance. And I would say, well, I obviously love my children more than his parents do, right? That would go over really well. But it's important that they learn these things. So these are things that they just do. So here's an example, this is all in your workbook, of some things that they'll do that they just need to do because it's the right thing to do. Age-appropriate chores, right? These are some of the expectations you absolutely should have of your children. Now, I recommend that you get these little, your kids are young. And I'll tell you what, this whole program, this is not like some military thing, make your kids do this and make them do that. This is fun. I mean, you make this fun. You are literally limited by your imagination only. When I have moms who come to me and they say, oh, I set it up this way or I set it up that way, and it's really fun. So you can make all of this a fun experience for your kids. There's all kinds of colorful charts and things that you can buy out there. Tell me, do kids love like bubbles and stickers? Of course they do. They love this stuff. So then when they do a good job, they're really proud of themselves. They feel really good about themselves. So you get a little chart system when you start this program, and you have them check off when they've completed their chart, when they've completed their chore, and then you come afterwards, and I suggest you do this for at least 2 weeks when you commit to the program. You come afterwards and you kind of check to see how they did, because you have to help them understand what the level of expectation is. Like brushing your teeth, it's not walking in the bathroom, putting water on your toothbrush and going like this and dropping it down, right? There are some things. Maybe you buy those little red tablets that the kids love to hate. Something like that to help them understand what your expectation is. So citizen of the household, you help them commit to 2 weeks, and they'll get it. I'll tell you what, they won't even think twice. They'll just do it. If you commit the time and you help them create the habit, they will follow suit. If you don't follow through, neither will they. Pretty simple, huh? Okay, how do you start the work for pay chores? Similarly, you come up with some ideas. Here's a list of work for pay chores, right? Age appropriate. Like we just said, kids love helping. Your kids can put the napkins out on the table at dinner, right, if they're young. Do you think they'd love that? They love helping mommy. Get them started putting the napkins out now. They will be doing the dishes and mopping the floors later. You can get rid of your housekeepers, right? You can pay that money to them. Collecting the small waste cans, carrying in grocery bags from the car. You know our system? I'm coming around the corner to the house. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'll shoot a text to my son. I'll say, I'm almost home with the groceries. He's out there waiting. He empties the groceries, brings them all in. He's the expert unpacker of the house, right? He can make everything fit in the freezer. I don't know how he quite does that. It's a gift, right? But he's been doing it for so long. There's no argument, doesn't think about it twice. He's there, he empties the groceries. I don't schlep groceries. I just don't do all these things. I just don't have time. But actually, it's so funny because now I'm on the other side of it. Now two of my girls have moved out. Only my son is at home. And all the stuff they used to do, I'm like, oh my gosh, my house is a mess. I have to get on this. But you get a little spoiled. But they go on autopilot. And even the times they don't want to do that, they'll be complaining to you, I'm not doing these dishes. Why do I have to do these dishes while they're doing the dishes? Right? So they don't always like everything that's going on, but they'll do it. It's creating the habits. So they have some great ideas for you for age appropriate. And it's the same thing, work for pay, okay? These are the work for pay chores. They're doing some extra things around the house. It's making your household run more smoothly. It's helping them have a sense of accomplishment. It's important kids know how to work. So how much do you pay them? In Neil's book, her recommendation is that you pay them $1 for every year of life. So you have a 5-year-old, you pay them $5 a week. You have a 10-year-old, you pay them $10 a week. I subscribe to this. Some people think it's a lot. I'm going to suggest to you, if you're not putting them on a schedule, you're spending a lot more money on them every month than if you do this, okay? So you put them on the schedule, and it's work for pay chores. What I ask you to do is that you think this through. What day will payday be? Your kids are young. I would not let them go more than a week without paying them. In my kid's situation, I would pay them once a month. That was the schedule I was on, and so they'd get paid once a month. Your kids, don't let them go more than a week. Kids need more gratification. You have the stickers, you do some fun things with them, and then you make payday a big deal. If you think you're not going to have the money for them for payday on time because you're busy and it's a Friday and you can't make it to the bank and you think it's going to be okay to say, Susie, I'm so sorry. Mommy was busy today and I didn't make it to the bank and I don't have your allowance. I'm going to ask you please to rethink that strategy. Because if they're trying hard and they're working hard to get everything done and they're so proud of themselves and they can't wait, they have waited for this moment all week for that money, and they realize it's not important to you, suddenly all those chores and everything they've been doing don't become unimportant to them and they're not going to follow through. So what I recommend you do is that you go once a month to the bank, get all the money that you're going to need for allowance, put it in 4 envelopes and stick it in a drawer, right? Then it's done. Set yourselves up to succeed with this program. You really can do it. And if you decide to incorporate and you run into roadblocks, call me. Just call me. I'm happy to talk to any of you anytime and give you little hints and tricks for how to get back on track or how to make something easier. Another thing is you want to think through your denominations, right? If you have a 10-year-old, we're going to be dividing things into jars with each allowance. You have a 10-year-old and say 20% is going to go or 10% is going to go into the charity jar. So you want to make sure that you have the right denomination. So maybe you want to give them all dollars. Or I used to buy rolls of coins. I'd have rolls of quarters, dimes, nickels, so that we could divide up because you're putting percentages of their allowance into different jars and you want them to be able to do that. So they're learning how to calculate those percentages also. So think through the dollar and coin denominations ahead of time. Go to the bank once a month and set yourself up to succeed with your kids, because if you guys don't follow through with this, that'll be your undoing. Now, just think about how much better your life would be. No work, no pay. All right, so this is where the always lovely Neil Godfrey and I part ways. She says, listen, if your kids don't do their chores, they don't get paid, which I agree with. However, her thought is, okay, if they don't do their chores one day for the week, you don't pay them for the whole week, and here's what I know. If my kids don't do their chores on a Monday, and they know they're not getting paid for the rest of the week, they're not going to do their chores on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. Okay, it's not going to happen. Kids are smart. So what I did, and again, you personalize this as much as you want. I had this 6-week schedule. And so this would go up on the board. I'm like the whiteboard queen at my house. This would go up on the board. It's the same chores, right? You're not inundating them with chores. You're not, this isn't come home every day and do an hour and a half of chores. These are simple chores, right? You have to vacuum once a week, right? Things like that. So you have their little chore chart, and I would rotate them. So it was, all I had to do was update this every 6 weeks. And on the back, I had the same monthly schedule. I put 30 days in. Any day that they didn't do their chore, I just highlighted their name on that date. It's the same chart for every month. I don't argue with them about it. It's not open for discussion or negotiation. You didn't do your chores. I highlight your name. I prorate your allowance, right? And you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. And I don't take it out of their, what we call mad money, their spending money. I mean, I don't take it out of their college savings money. I take it out of their spending money. Okay? So there's not a lot of discussion with this. The program is what it is, and they get the drill. They don't argue about things. They get things done. As they get older, you have kids. They're busy. Our kids are busy. They're in all kinds of sports programs. They have all these things going on. What they learn is, if I can't cover my chores, I'll get coverage from a sibling. Or I'll communicate with you, Mom, and I'll let you know. I have finals. I have a basketball game. It's a crazy week. I'm not going to be able to finish anything, everything. So what they're learning is how to be responsible for themselves. So when they go out, my kids worked at Starbucks, at Albertsons, at Vons. They always had jobs once they got to about 16 and they wanted to drive because they had to pay for their allowance. For their insurance. But anyway, so what they learn is, when they can't show up for a shift at work, they don't go to the boss and say, I'm going to make this your problem. They've already learned. They call their coworkers. They get coverage. Right? So they're bringing solutions to their employers now. I mean, all these little things, seemingly little things that you're teaching them, all these habits along the way, they're carrying through into their adulthood. It's phenomenal to watch what happens. And we don't have enough time, but I have another story. But I'll have to do that. Tell you about that next time. Anyway, no work, no pay. I say use little charts like this. It's easy. If you want, I can email you guys these charts, or I can send them to Michelle, and she can blast them to everybody. Just let me know. I'm happy to share anything I have to make you guys successful with this program, okay? Forge our budget system. This is basically how it works, and I'm going to go through this fairly quickly. You get four clear plastic jars. It's really easy, like this. See? Please don't buy those beautiful, heavy glass jars. Your little kids are going to be handling these a lot. The money's heavy enough, okay? I know these aren't as pretty, but it's just, you don't want to have them handling those heavy jars and breaking a toe or something, right? Also, you'll go through them. Also, you'll change it. They won't use the jars forever. Like my son, there's no way I was putting a jar of money in his bedroom. I mean, it would be gone, right? So you have to know your kids. So his jars I kept in my room, right? So adjust and adapt this program however you need to for your family. So the first jar is a charity jar. So somebody was asking about, how do you teach them about how to give to charities? It's a great question. They don't always understand that concept. And so what I did, I'll use my son as the example, is I told them when I started this program with him, we kind of made it a hybrid. And so we're sitting down, I explain it all to him, my son's sitting on the couch, he looks at me, he goes, wait a minute. So you're telling me now that I have to work for this money, and then you want me to give it away? What don't I get, right? So I realized that I just wasn't going to be able to help him to understand this. So I said, okay, by your next birthday, because kids never think they're going to get older. I mean, 6-7 months away is forever away. They'll never turn 10. By your next birthday, I will have educated you. You will understand what charitable giving is, and you will start setting aside 10% into the charity jar. And he was totally bought into that, because that meant he got that 10% for the next 7 months, right? He was never going to turn 10. So what happened is, again, this program, you weave in your everyday life events. So what happened was, he was playing Pop Warner, and they didn't have a scoreboard. And so we walked in to register him, and there was a big, huge bowl where everybody was throwing their change. And I said, Trevor, wouldn't you like to have a scoreboard for Pop Warner? He's like, yeah, it drives everybody crazy. So I said, this is how it's happening. It's a community project. Everybody's throwing their change in, their extra money, their 10% charity money, to make something happen that otherwise wouldn't happen, that's going to benefit the community. That was the first time the light bulb ever went off in his mind about what 10% charity was. The next time we were at Costco, and they had those great big bucket for Children's Hospital. Well, when Trevor was 4, television fell on his head. pretty traumatic scene, life flighted to Children's Hospital. He never forgot that. Loves Children's Hospital. Loves them. So we walk into Costco. There it is. I'm like, aha, another opportunity. Walk in. I ask him, what do you think about Children's Hospital? He can't get enough of it. I explain to him, Children's Hospital's doors would close if people didn't charitably give to that hospital. He was appalled, couldn't believe it. But over that 7 months of time, enough life events happened where he started getting it. So on his next birthday, he's bounding down the stairs. I hear him. The first thing I say is, happy birthday. Do you know what he says to me? Now I get to start giving 10% to charity. Like, now I get it. I couldn't believe it. This is a true story. First thing out of his mouth on his birthday. It was unbelievable. So once you create these habits for your kids, they stick with them. They follow through. They understand the benefits. So Charity Jar, you'll learn a lot about your kids and about yourself. Quick cash, 30% goes in quick cash. They can spend it on whatever they want, subject to your guidelines. No gum, no fireworks, no, you know, gunpowder, whatever, right? But they get to spend this on whatever they want. On whatever they want. I suggest that you let them put it in a purse or a wallet to carry with them. If they lose it, do not replace it. It is the best lesson they'll ever have. Right? It's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. There's tears. It's terrible. But it's worth it. They won't lose it again. Okay? Next is medium-term savings. This, they can set a goal for maybe a month. You don't want their goals to be too far out. Just something small that they can buy, that they can set a goal, and they can reach that goal. Have them draw a picture of it, put it on the refrigerator. You can add money to it if you want, just to kind of congratulate them. I'll, you know, meet you halfway. Just so they can learn how to save money, and then there are benefits to doing that, right? I get to buy maybe an iPad or whatever it is. I don't buy my kids IT stuff. Long-term savings, this is for things like college, maybe cars in the future. They don't understand, but this is the jar that you're going to use in the future to open their bank accounts, to maybe help them learn about some investing. They don't have to understand it. They don't understand why they have to brush their teeth every day. It's okay. You don't have to explain everything to them, even though they want to know everything, and they'll kill you with questions. Just let them know, because this is what we do. Okay. This is all in your workbooks. If you guys have any other questions, you can ask me. I'll be here later on today. We wanted to have kind of a Q&A, but should we wait?